Gloria a Dios. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Manifest Church. We're glad that you're here. Bienvenidos to those of you who are with us today. Thank you for those who are watching today on Facebook and YouTube. Glad that you've joined us. I pray that this message will minister to you. And if you want to receive more messages from Manifest Church, feel free to hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you're on or and the notification bell so you can continue to get these messages. We upload them every week on the live section. Also, if you're listening to the podcast, we want to welcome you in the name of Jesus. We pray that even as you're driving, you're working, wherever you are listening to the message, that the Holy Spirit will captivate your heart and minister to you right where you are. And we're just glad that we can come together as a body of Christ. I want to pray as we get started this morning. We're going to continue in Daniel chapter 7, and we've been there for a few weeks and probably a couple months. It's amazing how when you begin to search the scriptures in one spot, God takes you all over, because you need to understand it's the same Spirit who wrote it and the same God who wrote it. And so everything, even though there were like 66 books from different authors from different times, everything points to the same thing, Jesus Christ. And so it's an awesome just an awesome word that we have in our hands. And I pray that if you are haven't been in this word, that you would repent and get back into it. Because, man, without this, we're going to be deceived in this world. There's so much going on. So we're going to be in Daniel. We've been talking about the return of the king. I don't know about you, but I am looking for Jesus' return. I'm not looking for a human being to save us out of the mess we're in. I'm looking for Jesus to save us. Now, I have a responsibility as a citizen of this country. I love my country, and I have a responsibility to vote for people who are going to have righteous and just values when they represent us. But ultimately, man cannot save us in what is happening. Only Jesus can. And so as a church, as Christians who are filled with His Spirit, we ought to be reminded of that, that our hope is not in quicksand. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's pray as we get started. Father, we love you. We thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us into all truth, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have been grafted into the vine, Lord. That we were that wild branch, but you brought us in, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Lord, as we were singing how wonderful and how marvelous your name is, we were singing today and remembering how great you are and what a day it was when we were dead. We were in a grave. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. Jesus, you called us by name and you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And we want to proclaim that to our neighbors. We want to proclaim that to those we work with. We want to proclaim this Jesus by the way we live and what we say out of our mouths, Lord. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in this place, Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Lord. Lord, I can't do this. I need your strength. I need your power, Lord. I have nothing within me except Christ, Lord. And I look to you, Lord, for the power and the strength to preach your word, oh God. Holy Spirit, empower me now that I may do what pleases you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And so we have been, again, in Daniel chapter 7, and we have been looking how God gave Daniel a vision. And as I mentioned last week, Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, if you've read the book of Daniel in your life, you know in Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar took over Israel and he took the Hebrew children and people with him to Babylon. And while Daniel was there, the king had a terrible dream that was bothering him so much, none of his sorcerers, none of his advisors could tell him what the dream was. And if you remember, he said, if you can't tell me the dream, I'm going to have all of you killed and your families. This is how bad he wanted to know what he saw in his dream. And it was terrifying to him in the sense of not knowing what he saw. But that dream was man's perspective of the world empires, of what man's governments would be. Okay? And so they saw an image, a big, strong image with a head of gold and silver and bronze and iron, okay, and partly of iron and partly of clay. He saw all these things. And as we know in history, we know Babylon was the head of gold, And the next one was the Medo-Persian Empire. After Babylon fell was the Medo-Persian Empire. Then we had the Greek Empire, the Grecian Empire, which was Alexander the Great. We know this from history. And then the fourth empire that he saw was the Roman Empire, as we know in history, was a very long empire that lived. And if you have studied some eschatology, meaning some end time stuff, if you've looked at end times, we believe as Christians that there is a revived Roman Empire that's going to be coming for the last days, a revival of it, because that image that Daniel interpreted for the king, that he saw legs of iron, represented the Roman Empire, and then he saw the feet, partly of iron and partly of clay, and obviously feet have 10 toes, right? There are 10 kings that are going to come from this revived Roman Empire. And if you are paying attention in the world, just seeing how things are going, there's an increased movement, a rapid moving into wanting to make a one world government, a one world religious system, a one world currency. It is all pushing towards this. Why? Because there are going to be 10 kings that will rule. And I want to say this just so, I always say this because I know we're in those times and they call them kings, but it could be presidents, it could be the elite people with all the money, these big families like the Rockefellers, things like that, big type people who have a lot of money who rule this world, okay? Those could be part of those 10 kings that Daniel, that God gave Daniel the interpretation. And in this chapter 7 is now God gives Daniel heaven's perspective of man's governments. See, man saw it as this utopia, this beautiful image of power and all that. God showed Daniel that man's government is ferocious beast that devour and kill everything. That's what happens when men try to live apart from God's governance, from God's law and God's ways, we become beasts. And how many of you know, we saw this with King Nebuchadnezzar. He got too prideful, and he said, "I did all this," and in just a moment he went crazy and started eating grass like an animal. Okay, he lost his mind. Why? Because he didn't acknowledge God gave him Israel. God did this. Can you imagine that God would raise up a pagan to bring discipline to his people? God wasn't trying to destroy Israel. God was using Babylon to bring discipline for the sin Israel had done. And anyway, so we see all this is going on. And so we are just going now in Daniel's perspective from heaven. We're looking at the fourth kingdom. And so let's just start reading here in verse, I'll just start in verse 23. In verse 23 of Daniel chapter 7. I'm going to give you a second to get there. Daniel chapter 7, verse 23. It says, "Thus he said, as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth, and trample it down, and break it into pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom, 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones, and shall put down 3 kings. He shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and shall think to change the times and the law. And they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But the court shall sit in judgment and his dominion shall be taken away to be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion shall serve and obey him." Here's the end of the matter. "As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my color changed, but I kept the matter in my heart." I mean, Daniel's seeing this, and he says, "My color changed." I mean, he turned pale. You know, I thought I saw a ghost, right? You know, he got so white and pale from what he saw. He was just so alarmed. Because this was for the future. He doesn't know fully what he's saying. And sometimes we have to understand that their vocabulary of that time isn't what we have today. So when you see John in the book of Revelation, John says, I saw an image, and this image of this beast had power that whoever didn't worship the image, it could kill you. Okay? Well, he only had words to describe what he saw with his eyes, but he couldn't say, hey, that is AI, artificial intelligence. That's a computer image screen that has some way the ability to kill you. He doesn't have those vocabulary words in that time to tell you that. He's describing in his vocabulary what he is seeing. But we are over here, we're looking from what he said, and we're living in the now of what is taking place and moving closer to that. We can see, whoa, wow, they are working on this. They're working on this AI. You need to understand that even the people that help create artificial intelligence, they are concerned that it's going to hurt humanity. There's a guy that was a communist mind person. I can't remember his name right now. I'll find it later. I'll tell you when I get it. But he in the times in the before computers, he said there's going to be a world brain. Why? Because Satan, as I've been telling you guys, Satan, he isn't God. He isn't omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He's a created being. He's not God. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere. So when somebody says, oh, the devil's on my back, you're lying. The devil is not on your back. He might be sending a demon or some of his minions, but him himself cannot be where you are at. And your brother over here and that brother, he can't be. He's not God. Only God is omnipresent. So when people do that, it's because of ignorance. They don't know. And, oh, the devil's after me. The devil's not after you. If you were the Apostle Paul, I would believe you. Because I think he would make that a point. I got to deal with him. Not somebody that's just, you know, not really doing like he was doing. I mean, he was going everywhere to preach the gospel, not caring about his life. He didn't care. You know, they told him, hey, if you go to Jerusalem, they're going to hurt you. He said, I don't care about my life. I've counted the cost. See, again, doesn't mean the enemy doesn't send his minions to bother us when we're messing with his stuff. Meaning when we go and bring the gospel to people and we're praying with people and we're sharing the word of God with people, yeah, you're going to get some attacks. And that's normal. Don't think it's strange when you face opposition because you're doing the will of God. That is normal. And, you know, a lot of people, they're afraid of that because, you know, obviously we want to be liked. We don't want to have to deal with stuff. But how many of you know if you get a plant and you put it in darkness, it doesn't grow. It's going to die. It needs to be in the sun. It needs to be in the rain. Why? So it can grow. And just like us as Christians, we have to through the tribulations and trials, we grow to be more like Jesus. And our faith is proven genuine. Amen. We're refined in the fire, okay? Daniel in the lion's den, he said, you know what? I'm going to tell you right now. Do you know what's happening? They want to start this up with COVID again. They want to say, I want to tell you, do not comply. Do like Daniel. Don't comply. Remember Daniel, they say, hey, you can't pray. The king said, you can't pray. Anybody that prays to any other god, they're going to be thrown into the lion's den. And they're telling people, hey, if you don't do this, you don't put this mask on, you don't do this, you're going to get shut out. You know what you do? Don't comply because it's a lie. It's built on false science, pseudoscience. We learned that word last week. False science. They're lying to you. It's a part of control. It's a way to control people. Yes, that is a real thing, an illness out there. But we don't need to be living in fear. The Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Turn off the TV. Get away from whatever it is that's bringing this garbage to you. I promise you, there's more to this than meets the eye. People don't realize this is about money. This is about things that I can't say, or they'll take me off of these Facebook and all. I'll tell you privately. But you have to understand that, you know, that medicine that they want to give you is not good for you. It's not good for you. You want to be careful. It's a process. There's a goal that Satan has, okay? And he's using people because, you know, I mean, when you're not in light, you're in darkness. And when I was in darkness, I didn't see God's way. I saw my way. Or whatever I was following was what I wanted to do. But God has given us his word, and we need this. I want to encourage you as my brothers and sisters, you need to stay in the word of God in these days. Because I'm telling you, even whatever you watch in there, it could be deception. There's technology today that it may look like me. It may look like you. And they can put it on there and talk like if it was you and deceive you. This is what we're talking about. Daniel and them, they didn't understand that technology, but they were telling you this is what it's looking like. God was saying this is what it's going to be. How are they going to create one world currency? Through digital, making it all digital. That's how you can do it. It's all controlled, because if you live with cash, you can't control cash like that. But if everything's in the computer, if everything's in digital, and you're not a good citizen, oh, delete. Hey, why they want you in electric cars? So, hey, this pastor, he's preaching this message that's contrary to the government. He's driving his electric car. We're going to stop the car right where it's at. Bring the police and go get him. Because you're on the grid. You are connected to the brain. They can't do that if you got gas. Can't just stop your car. Your car moves wherever you want it to go when you put gas in your car. Okay? So this is things that you need to understand. I know I'm saying some things, but I want you to understand this is how it's all planning out. And Satan is going to be the one that comes in and says, hey, the Antichrist is going to come in and say, hey, I'm the one. I can fix all this. Listen to me. You know, I was listening to a friend, and something, you know, someone was saying to him about aliens and this and that. And you need to understand that now governments are saying UFOs are real. It is not real. This is a lie in order to deceive you and to deceive the world. Why? Because what do we know as Christians is going to happen one day? The catching up. The saints are going to be caught up to be with the Lord, which we refer to as the rapture. We know this. So what's going to happen? They got to use this phony stuff to say, and believe me, they have technology. They have things that they can make you think is what it is up there. And it's not. Do you know that Satan, the Antichrist, is going to call down fire one day and do false miracles? He's going to use technology to do it. Do you know we have right now in satellites in space that can do that? Can just destroy a place just like that. Sploop from here, hit a button, fire come down. It's not because he's God and he can do that. It's because he's using deception. Because what did Jesus say about the devil? He is a deceiver. He's a liar from the beginning. But he has to act like God so you can think, oh, he is God. Look what he can do. He makes the lame walk, the blind see. No, because there's technology in you. They put a chip, now you can see. That's not a real miracle. They put a chip in your body so your legs can move again and you can move. That's not a miracle. That's a technology. Because what happens? When you do this and stop it, you're blind again. You do this, you lose your legs again. When God heals you, he heals you. It's creative. When Jesus went and healed people, remember the man had no arm and he touched his and the arm came out. There was no computer there. There was no technology. This was the Son of God doing what God does. Hallelujah. All right. So we were, I'm sorry, I get caught up in some stuff. So last week we looked at where the little horn, Daniel, calls the Antichrist that we know in John's epistles and in the book of Revelation, he's called the beast. Remember? So you have, the Antichrist goes by different names. In the book of Daniel, he's the little horn, okay? And in the first letter in John, he is the Antichrist. And in John's book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, He is called the beast. Okay? So when you hear me say little horn beast, that's speaking of the Antichrist, just to make sure you are with me. He comes into power, okay? He begins to have power. He says here, as for the ten horns, verse 24 of Daniel 7, he says, as for the ten horns, out of this kingdom, 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones, and he shall put down the three kings. He shall speak words against the Most High and will wear out the saints of the Most High and think. Okay, so remember last week I talked to you about when the Antichrist comes. Imagine the world, right? The Christians, millions of us are taken out of this world. The chaos is going to happen. It could be a pilot. Plane's going to go down. Could be a guy driving a truck that's a believer. Baby's gone. Okay? And people are going, what is going on? So they need the UFO. They took them out of here. The bad people. And the babies, they just took them to reprogram their minds. You see, this is, I know it sounds like, bro, it's like we watch something on a sci-fi movie. But they have to do that to make you believe it. They don't want to believe the Bible, what it says. No, Jesus is going to call his people home. That we're going to go be caught up in the air with him. And that's what's going to happen. So imagine all this chaos in the world. We have these 10 regions that are ruled by 10 kings. And one is going to come up and he's going to take the place of three of those kings. And they're all going to turn their power and to him, who is the Antichrist. They're going to give the beast all of this power. And now he's going to be the one. I can fix all of this. I'm the one that can do it, okay? Because he has to. And how does he do it? He starts with, I'm going to make a peace treaty, a covenant with Israel. Okay, I'm going to make a covenant with Israel, 7 years of peace between all the nations around them. Imagine. What is all we've been hoping for Israel? Peace, right? And they always try. They get it for a couple years, and then boom, otra vez, battles and fights, and we see it again. But he's going to come, and everybody's going to listen to him because he's going to have these beautiful words, these words that, because he's a deceiver, and he's going to be able to win people's ears and have the charisma to call men to follow him. Okay, and he's going to be under demonic influence, obviously, to do that. And God's going to allow it for a time. So Israel signs the peace treaty. They do it. Now we've got a 7-year covenant. Well, in that, I don't have all the time to go there, but Israel, part of the second coming, is the temple will be rebuilt. Okay? Solomon's temple, the temple to worship and all that. Why? Because remember, Israel has not been able to offer up sacrifices for their sin. According to their religion of Judaism, remember, when Romans came in, they destroyed the temple and they could not. And when Jesus rose again, he died on the cross and split the veil and tore up and then Rome came and destroyed it all. So there was no more sacrifice. They haven't done that since. And he's going to allow them in this covenant to do it. Why? If you read a little bit about what's going on, they are already rebuilding this temple. They're working on it. They're picking up pieces. They're finding the pieces to make the temple again in different ways. And so as they're doing this, they're preparing for that time so that they can begin the high priest goes in to offer up atonement for the sins of the people, as we know throughout the Bible. The problem is, thank God, Jesus Christ already did away with that. That's why we don't need it anymore. But they're blinded right now because now we talked about this is the time of who? The Gentiles. That's us. This is our time to be saved, to be brought into the kingdom. Okay? And then once our time is up, which is the time when we go to be with the Lord, now is the time where God begins to fulfill his promise to save Israel. And he's going to do it. If you look in the book of Revelation, God, in the time of the tribulation, when we're gone in the time of the tribulation, he's going to seal 144,000 Jewish evangelists. They're going to be from 12,000 from every tribe of Israel, and they're going to be marked with God's seal, and they're going to preach the gospel all over the world. And they're going to preach the gospel to Israel. People are going to be saved. And we saw this in Romans chapter 11, where Paul talks about Israel shall be saved. Right now, their hardening brought salvation to us. They're hardening towards Christ, meaning the majority of Israel does not see Jesus as the Messiah. Certain Jewish people have come to know Jesus as the Messiah, but not all Jewish people, okay? That's the time. This is the clock, okay? This is when you hear all this stuff, there are things going to happen. And when I say this, I don't know when this is going to happen fully. I know when, but what I'm saying is we look at the signs of the times. We see what's going on around us, and we know it's leading to that time. So it gives us hope to know, hey, at any moment, we can go be with the Lord. He's going to call us home. And that second coming, guess who's going to be with him? The blood-bought saints. We're going to be with him. Coming back with him. Riding white horses with white robes, man. And the Bible says those white robes are the righteous acts of the saints. Hallelujah. And so we're going to come back with him, and we're going to rule and reign. So, all right, all that to say, he comes in to take power. They're doing this. Everything seems to be going fine. And all of a sudden, if you read in Revelation, we'll get, I don't want to go there because of time. There's a part where he's going to have a mortal wound, the Antichrist. He's going to act, it's going to look like he got assassinated. Okay? But when he comes out of that, he's going to be so full of demons in him. He's going to come out of that like if he rose again. Again, what's he doing? Copycat. He's a copycat of Jesus. He wants to act like he's God, okay? He's not original. Satan is not original. He cannot do what he wants to do what God does. So God has a seal for his. He makes a seal for his worshipers, right? They have to take a mark on the forehead or on the arm, right? We know this. But God did the seal first, remember? Before this, he seals his people so that Satan can't touch them and harm them, okay? So, all right, he comes up, and what he's going to do, what Daniel says, he shall, in verse 25 of Daniel, chapter 7, he's going to speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and shall think to charge the times and the law. All right, hold your place there. So they're worshiping, right? They're worshiping God, no problem. Everything, you know, in the covenant, they can do this. Now he comes out of this supposedly resurrection and he's going to say, because think about it. We never seen Jesus rise, right? The people of this time, they're going to see this fake Messiah, this pseudo Messiah, rise from the dead, apparently. And they're going to go, this has to be him. And then he's going to enter the temple and he's going to say, no more sacrifices. You are to worship me. And he changes the laws of God and he changes the worship of God, and he changes by because, and it's for a time. God's going to God is going to let him have a little rope. And the reason for this, we have to understand, why does God allow Satan to do this? Because there is discipline that God's going to use. See, Satan thinks he's winning here. He's so full of him. Oh, yeah. But remember, God allows him to do this in order to bring about the cry out of Israel. Remember, when God's people, whenever they sinned in the Bible, God raised up enemies who would come at them. And then what would they do? They would cry out to God again. And then they would forget about God again when everything was good. And then when he would raise up more enemies, they come and they cry out, God, we love you, save us. Right? Well, remember, let's go to our one of our big verses, which is Zechariah 12:10. I want you to see this. Zechariah 12:10. Zechariah 12:10. I want you to see this for yourself. I want you to see this verse because this is like the nail verse, right? It nails it down to what's going to happen. I can't even get there. Let me see. There we go. Whew. These pages stuck together. Okay. Zechariah 12:10. I want you to see this. All right. It says, "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as for one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly over him, as one weeps over a firstborn." So, as we saw Daniel saying that he's going to wear out the saints of God, Now I want you to understand, when it says that, it's not talking about us. I know as in our dispensation, we call each other saints. You know, the believers, we're the saints of God. But in end times, we're not here anymore. Remember that. We're gone. If you're here, you didn't know Jesus. And hopefully one of those 144,000 came and preached the gospel to you, okay? But if you're left behind, you didn't know Christ, according to what I believe, according to eschatology. You didn't know him. So anyway, this is going to happen. So he's going to use Satan to come against them, because remember, we read in Revelation chapter 12 that Satan is angry now. He's furious because why? He got kicked out of being able to go accuse us before God, right? He's the accuser of the brethren. Satan, he's accusing you right now before God day and night. He accuses you. Oh, he's a sinner. Look what he did. Look what he did yesterday. Look how all these things. Look at what's going on. And he's accusing us before God. But there's going to come a day when he's going to be thrown out of there. And then he's going to come down. He's called the dragon, right? In Revelation, the great dragon, Satan, right? He's going to come down and he's going to be angry because he's been thrown out of heaven. And he's going to come with fierce anger because he knows his time is short. So he's going to come after Israel. That's where the treaty is broken. And now he begins to persecute Israel. That persecution of Israel is going to cause them to do what Zechariah 12:10 says. They're going to look and cry out. They're going to plead for mercy from God. And God's going to hear them. And they're going to see the second coming. They're going to see the one they pierced. They're going to see him. And they're going to cry out for Jesus as their Messiah. And he's going to save them. I mean, this is going to be an awesome return of a king. But it's all around, revolves around what happens there in Israel. And it's pretty exciting in time. And we're going to be with him in the air. So the Antichrist himself doesn't realize that his reign is short, as Daniel says, it's only for a little time. Think about this, an empire only lasting 7 years. That's not a very long time. Because if we look at history, all these empires were for years. Babylon was for a long time. The Medo-Persian empire was for a long time. The Greek empire was for a long time. Roman empire was for years and years and years and years. And here, the pinnacle of Satan's reign is for 7 years. That's it. Thank God for that, because if it was more, what was going to be released on the earth is so much bad. So his time is short. All right, let's move on. How am I doing on time? How am I doing? I'm not sure where I'm at on time, but let's keep going. So at this point, God has had enough. Go back to Daniel 7. God has had enough. God has said, you know what? I'm done. Because now he's starting to blaspheme me and blaspheme my people. And I've had enough. You know, when you ever had that in your life when you've had enough of somebody? And they just keep going. And you're like, you don't cross this line anymore. As a parent, when you've been telling your child, hey, I need you to do this, and they don't do it, and you keep telling them, they don't do it, there comes a point where you say, that's it, ahora viene, it's coming now. It's over. No more mommy, papi, dad, I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry, nothing. I'm coming with wrath now because I've had enough. I have warned you, I have told you, and now I'm coming to bring justice. Look what he says there. Go back to Daniel chapter 7. Verse 26, but the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away to be consumed and destroyed to the end. Now go back a couple verses. I want you to see this. And let's start here in verse 9 of Daniel 7. Go back a few verses. I know we're like, it's kind of how Daniel sees. He sees what's happening. But then remember, starting in verse 15, God gives him an interpretation of this moment. So here's the interpretation of this court being in session now. Look at this interpretation, verse 9. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. The Ancient of Days always refers to as God the Father. It is God supreme. He is there. He is on his throne, and he is not happy. It says his clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheel were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out before him, from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were open. I looked then because of the sound that the great words of that horn was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. All right. So, wow. So the court's open. God has said, I've had enough. And he sits on his throne. He doesn't have to move. He sits on his throne. And when the Bible says fire comes from God's throne, that means that is God's judgment coming now. He is pronouncing his judgment. And he's judging the little horn because of the great words he was speaking against him. And God said, I'm done. And now judgment comes. And now, with this judgment, Daniel sees this awesome sight, as we read, fire coming from before the Lord. You know, we know the Bible says our God is a consuming fire. Okay? Psalm 21:9 says, you will make them a blazing oven with when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up with his wrath, and fire will consume them. Again, this is Psalm 21:9. In the book of Deuteronomy 4:24 says, the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Deuteronomy 9:3, know therefore today that he who goes over before you as a consuming fire is the Lord your God. He will destroy them and subdue them before you, so you shall drive them out and make them perish quickly, as the Lord has promised. So when God, when you see this image, Daniel seeing this dream, and he sees God's fiery throne and fire coming down from there, boy, God is not having it. He is, you know, one thing I love about the Lord, he's known, and there's a term in Hebrew, he's the God of the long nostril. Think about a long nostril, right? It takes a long time for his wrath to get to you because he's wanting you to repent. But when it comes, it's coming with greatness. And he is going to judge the Antichrist. And I want to end with this last point. God's judgment is he sends his son, the return of the king. Let's go to Revelation 19. Woo! Now our Father, he says, I'm done and I'm sending my son to take care of business. I sent him the first time to be the Savior of the world, to bring salvation to people. And now he's coming to rule and to reign. Let's start in Revelation 19, verse 11. It says, then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun. With a loud voice, he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, come gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the king of the earth was there with their armies gathered to make war against him who's sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who is in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorging with their flesh. Oh my goodness, what a moment. Okay, we're so used to Jesus coming humble and meek and touching and loving us and caring for us, and he's coming now not like that. He's coming dipped in a robe of blood and destroying the enemies of God. And he is not playing. He calls out the birds. Can you imagine the war and the all these people coming against him? And he just kills them with a sword coming out of his mouth. And he calls the birds, hey, you're going to have supper now. You're going to eat all this flesh. How many of you, when you're driving, you see those birds flying around, you know, the vultures looking to eat up that dead carcass, right? They're looking for the dead animal. And they just swoop down and start eating and pecking on it. It's going to be like that. And so his return, God uses now, his judgment is in the Son. That's why he has a rod of iron. He's going to bring justice and righteousness back on the earth. And in verse 20 is when he begins to reign from Jerusalem. You see, this is an important part because I think, I don't want to get there today, but that's an important part of end time prophecy. Is that Jesus will have a physical reign for 1,000 years on the earth. He will reign from Jerusalem. As the Bible says, David will have a son on the throne. Remember, Jesus is of the line of David, King David, meaning his humanity. Okay? So he's going to reign from there for 1,000 years. Satan is going to be locked up. He's going to be in prison for 1,000 years. And then after that, he's going to be let go again to try to deceive the nations again to come after him. And then that's it. But there's a lot more to that. Man, God is good. This is what's powerful, his return. And I think as Christians and as we're thinking about this, it ought to cause us also to have the fear of the Lord in our hearts, to realize God is just. He's holy. God is love, but God is also just and he's holy. And we as Gentile believers, we need to understand that, hey, we better not take his grace for granted. We better not take what he's done for granted, because if he didn't spare his own son, what do you think will happen to us if we reject the son, if we just keep on doing what we want to do? You know, we need to be careful, because there's a lot of people in the church who claim to be Christians and are not living for Christ. They're living for themselves. They're not living to please the Lord. They're living to do whatever they want. They just added Jesus to it. Put him right here. He's not here. Jesus needs to be the center of our lives. Amen? And you know what's good? God is good, because we have an advocate. We're not always perfect in that, but God loves us. He gave us his son. And when we know we're not where we need to be, we need to repent. We need to say, Lord, I know that's wrong. I want to turn back to where you want me to be. I want to begin to do what pleases you. And you know what God does? He gives us refreshing. The Holy Spirit comes and refreshes us. That's what Peter, he said when he told the people, repent, for times of refreshing may come from the Lord. When we repent and we turn from what we're doing is not right, and we say, Lord, I want to turn back to you. Repentance is changing your mind and begin to change your mind towards God. If I was in something that isn't, that I know he says is wrong, I turn from that and I turn my mind and my thoughts towards the will of God. And then what happens? Then my heart is open to him. But when I'm in my sin, my heart is closed. I close the windows of my soul to him. And I can't, the grace isn't flowing. We got to be, Lord, here I am. And it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes when we as Christians, we're not going to be perfect. That means if you say that, John says, anyone who says they don't have sin is a liar. And the truth is not in them. God knows that about us. And that's why he sent his son. That's why we have an advocate. That's why we have him. Amen. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Because if it was based on me, I'm not going to make it. If my salvation is based on Danny, I'm done. I might as well call it a day. I might as well wrap all this up and never do this again, because it's done. But thank God for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who bought me with his blood. He bought you with his blood. He bought us with his, with what he did on that cross. He paid the debt we owed God. We couldn't pay it. We didn't have enough. but the Son of God paid, and we thank Him for that. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank You so much for Your word today. Thank You for speaking to our hearts, Lord. Thank You for our time of worship today, singing songs to You in praise and adoration, Lord. And we thank You that Your word has come and ministered to our hearts today. Lord, just thinking of that time when we're going to see that return and we're going to be with You as a body of Christ. We're going to come from heaven with You to save Israel and to save and to bring about Your justice on this earth, Lord. What an awesome time that will be. Thank You, Lord, that it gives us hope right now, that even when we're going through trials and tribulation, even though when we're mistreated because we love You, when we're isolated from people because we're Christians and we want to follow You, and people treat us wrong, and we may lose a promotion, or we may lose a job, or we may lose a friendship because we're willing to live for You. Oh God, we thank You that one day You're going to make all that right. And when we look at this, it encourages our hearts today. And I pray for the person here in this room, I pray for the person watching, that where they are right now, that they would sense the power and presence of the Holy Spirit ministering to their hearts. And Lord, if that person doesn't know You, I pray right where they are in their car, they'll pull over and they'll begin to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I believe that You are the Son of the living God. Forgive me of my sins. I turn away from it and I put my trust in You, Jesus. You said, if I confess the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead, I'll be saved. And Lord, You said for those who call on Your name, You would give them the gift of the Holy Spirit right there. You can touch them, Lord. It doesn't matter what I don't have to be in a building. I can be under a tree, God, and You can move on my heart. Whoo, we thank You, Lord. Oh, God, I thank You. You are not in a box. Oh, we love You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Touch that person right where they are, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We love You. And God's people said, amen. Amen. We'll see you next time.